Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, its five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to make yet another joke about Uhura's knockers, and to boldly go where no man has gone before, the annual convention of radio producers. Captain's Albert, stardate 3400 and... Captain's log?
Yes?
Be so kind as to turn over, would you? You're full up on this side.
And I'm fed up on this side. Fed up with you writing on me.
Well, I'm sorry, but unless... Yes, yes, I can simply erase some of my previous writing. Mr. Spock, rubber, please.
Rubbing her, Jim.
Mr. Spock!
Mr. Spock, I meant pass me an India rubber.
Just getting the Uhura's knockers jokes out of the way, Jim. By the way, you asked me to analyze and report on this.
Ah, yes, the mysterious piece of black celluloid. And your report on the piece of black celluloid?
Negative, Captain Kirk.
You have nothing to report on the piece of black celluloid?
Yes.
But you just said negative.
That's right, it's a negative.
Ah, a negative.
A negative.
Positive?
No, a negative.
No, I mean, are you positive that it's a negative?
Positive.
That it's a negative?
Affirmative. However, it could also be a positive.
The negative?
Positive. That is, I am positive that the negative may not be a negative and could, in fact, be a positive.
A positive?
If, as I suspect, this negative or positive comes from the planet photo bonus print...
The planet photo bonus print?
That fuzzy sphere where everything positive is negative and everything negative is positive. But I can be sure that the positive or negative comes from the planet photo bonus print, because as everything negative there is positive, it is a positively negative place on which to make a positive sighting, negatively speaking.
Spock?
Yes?
Don't be such a prat.
Captain Kirk, we are being hit by a storm of meteorites.
Red alert! Red alert!
Position stabilizing.
Good. Mr. Sulu, are your circuits cleared?
Yes, I have no problem since I went on high-fiber diet.
I mean your electrical circuits, you... Wait, we've stopped. We have suddenly come to a dead stop in space, Mr. Spock.
Fascinating.
Scully, the bridge. All our engines have seized up, Captain.
Immobile in space, all engines seized up. Your advice on how to overcome the problem, Spock?
Well, we could try jumping up and down.
Is that the best you can do, Spock?
The combined weight of the Enterprise crew is 43,224.876 pounds, Jim. I have calculated that if everyone jumps up at the same time between a height of 10 and 15 inches and lands at the same time, the resultant seismic shockwave will cause the ship to oscillate peripherally and override the emergency overload bypass, thus setting up a vibration which could free the engines.
Brilliant! Captain to crew, on the command jump, I want you to all jump up and down. Jump!
On the other hand, it could cause the bottom of the Enterprise to fall off.
Aye, sir, but it's freed the engines too, Mr. Spock. But I'm afraid we're lost.
We can navigate by the stars, Scotty. Fortunately, I have with me my copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I'll read it out whilst you observe the skies, and if anyone recognizes anything, let me know. Far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy lies a small, unregarded yellow... Spock, Uhura, wake up! Mr. Sulu!
Scotty, the bridge! Scotty, the bridge! Scotty, the bridge!
Scotty, why are you talking to that image of Tower Bridge?
It's not an image, Captain Kirk. It is Tower Bridge, and I'm trying to make contact.
We're directly over London?
Aye, sir.
Then prepare to beam me down to Broadcasting House, Scotty.
Wait, Jim. We did that last week, and our mission was immediately interrupted by a Radio 4 show. If we are to go to the BBC again, we should first take precautions.
Right. We'll call in at the chemist's on the way and get a couple of packets.
First, I think we should use the Enterprise's spare command frequency to black out the current Radio 4 transmission.
Very well. Do as Mr. Spock has suggested, Lieutenant Uhura.
Aye, aye, Captain. Captain, when I blacked out the Radio 4 transmissions, all our communications were blacked out as well.
Spock?
Fascinating. It would appear that we ourselves are part of the radio show, Jim.
Oh, that's good. I always wanted to be an actor.
We'll test your theory, Mr. Spock. Uhura, lock into another radio frequency.
Aye, aye.
Are you troubled by embarrassing hair? Do people laugh at you in the street? If the answer to these questions is yes, then new, desperate... maybe just a thing you're looking for. Simply rub new Desperate into your embarrassing hair. And in a few short days, it'll begin to grow and spread. And in next to no time, will have grown and spread so much that it will join up with your non-embarrassing hair. Thus making your embarrassing hair and your non-embarrassing hair indistinguishable from each other. Results? People will no longer laugh at you in the street because you'll be so embarrassed that you won't go out. Don't forget, with each jar of new Desperate, you get a free delouser, a free box of bananas, and an introduction to David Attenborough. So, say goodbye to embarrassing hair.
Goodbye, embarrassing hair.
And now on your favorite commercial radio station, it's time for the news with Bob Farley.
Hello there. The funeral took place today of big game hunter and fast food company owner Sir Bart Belmont, who died last week while trying to perfect the recipe for Kentucky Fried Tiger. And your favorite radio channel is itself in the news today as the president of the company, Maxwell Murdoch, announces staff cuts. Amongst those who will lose their jobs at the end of the week are sound editors, program researchers, and newsreader Bob Farley. Statistics issued today reveal that last year we ate less meat and that the downward trend in meat consumption is expected to continue this year. Well, I know one person who is going to be eating less meat, that's for sure. Travel agents have announced the record number of people will be taking a holiday this year. Thanks to commercial radio boss Maxwell Murdoch, four people who won't be taking a holiday this year are ex-newsreader Bob Farley and his family. In Oxford Street earlier today, a large piece of masonry dislodged by building workers overhead fell 200 feet to the ground, killing a passerby. Unfortunately, it wasn't commercial radio boss Maxwell Murdoch. The Theatre of Life, which features actors not only playing the characters in the play but also the sets, opened this week with the play The Garden, starring Albert Finney as the summer house, Wendy Hiller as the greenhouse, and Maxwell Murdoch as the... as the outhouse. The Prime Minister is to excuse me one moment. Yes, I've just been handed a newsflash. The staff cuts at your favourite radio channel announced earlier have since been cancelled, said boss Maxwell Murdoch. And this is Bob Farley signing off to go outside and throw up.
And now it's time once again to meet Delia, radio's best-loved agony aunt.
Hi. Well, before I talk to the first of our callers today, I would like to reply to a letter I've received from a lady who signs herself Splinters and who complains that her husband keeps gluing her to the living room floorboards. Well, I mean, one hears of husbands dominating their wives, but laminating them? Seriously, though, Splinters, I wouldn't worry too much about your husband's habit of gluing you to the floor. Let's face it, lots of wives get stuck in the house these days, don't they? Ah-ha! Now then, if I can have our first caller, please.
Hello?
Your name, dear?
Liz.
Oh, hello, Liz, and what's your problem?
Well, Delia, it's about my husband.
Leave him.
Pardon?
Leave him, Liz. Simply pack your bags and leave him.
But I've got 17 children, Delia, and I'm pregnant with the 18th.
Then leave him, Liz. Leave him before it's too late.
But, I mean, I've got nowhere to go. Nowhere. And the only clothes I've got to me name are a pair of thong sandals and the thin frock I stand up in. And two of my children aren't even old enough to walk yet. And somebody's pinched the wheels off me pram. And I've only got one leg.
Yes, yes. It's easy to find excuses, Liz. But finding excuses isn't going to solve your problems, is it? Now, I want you to do exactly what I'm going to tell you to do. Are you listening?
Yes.
The minute you put the phone down, I want you to get all your children together, all your children's clothes together, pack all your children's clothes and your children who can't walk into your pram, and drag your wheelless pram away as fast as you can hop.
You really think that's what I should do?
I know that's what you should do, Liz. I mean, just ask yourself what sort of life you've got to look forward to if you don't leave this evil man.
Oh, I wouldn't say he was evil. And he does have his good points. I mean, he always sees that me and the children have enough to eat. And he does help me with the housework. In fact, he does it all. And all the cooking and cleaning.
Oh, he does he? Not content with consigning you to a life of drudgery, he then proceeds to belittle you by demonstrating that he can do without you. You must leave this monster at once, Liz.
Yes, you're probably right, Delia. Right. That's what I'll do, then.
Very good. I'm sure you're doing the right thing, Liz.
I mean, why should I risk him turning nasty and beating me up again?
He beats you up?
Very often. Yes.
Ah. Well, you see, Liz, beating you up could be his way of showing you that he loves you. I mean, maybe you ought to reconsider this. Believe me, in my experience, it just does not pay to come to hasty decisions. Decisions which you may very well come to regret later.
No, if I were you, Liz...
I say, switch that thing off, will you? I can't concentrate.
Oh, there, there. Hey, why you need to concentrate just to throw dice, I don't know. It's a good game, though, this, isn't it? Become a Radio 1 DJ.
Oh, yes.
Right, you start.
Here we go. Four. One, two, three, four. At the age of 14, an illness leaves you tone deaf. Move forward 10 places. Right, your go, Fiona.
Right. Two, one, two. In a parlour game, your forfeit is to talk for 5 minutes about absolutely nothing. You discover that you can do this easily. Move forward 15 places.
Three. One, two, three. You become obsessed with a pop star and try to look like him. Move forward 8 places. But move back 6 places and miss a turn if the pop star you become obsessed with is Cliff Richard because Mike Reed has already beaten you to it.
Right, my turn. Here we go. Ooh, 6. Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You think that Kid Jensen is another name for a goat dropping. Move back 8 places. Oh, well, here we go. Right. Oh, but it's my turn again. 2, 1, 2. You see Kid Jensen on a TV show and still think he's a goat dropping. Move back 16 places.
3, 1, 2, 3. You start to prefer Janice Long to Bo Derek. Move forward 4 places.
2, 1, 2. You start to prefer Keith Chegwin to Janice Long. Move forward 5 places or stay where you are until you throw a 6.
Right. 4, 1, 2, 3. You develop a funny chirpy voice, a taste for gold medallions, open neck shirts and double entendres. And you enter hospital for a tonsillectomy, but a mistake is made. And instead of a tonsillectomy, you're given a lobotomy. Advance to finish. I've won!
Well, fancy another game.
Oh, just a moment. Yes? Oh, it's for you, Fee.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Fiona. It's me, Tracy. I'm calling from the hospital where I... Yeah, I got that job I went after. The one pushing the tea trolley round. Yeah, it's just great working here, Fiona. Because everybody keeps mistaking me for a nurse if I wear my black tights and flatties and hide my trolley. And the best part is, I'm out with a different doctor every night, yeah? I was with an obstetrician last night. Randy is a butcher's dog, he was. I'd only been with him 2 minutes and I was having to fight him off. Pardon? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll let him do that. Oh, yeah, I'll let him fondle me. Whereabouts? Oh, in the Odeon. On the back of the room. No, funnily enough, Fiona, it didn't get me going at all, and it usually does. I think it was because his hands were all clammy. You see, he'd come straight from the hospital, and he still had his rubber gloves on. At least it felt like he had. And Tuesday night, I went out with a paediatrician. A paediatrician? No, Fiona, it's not someone who treats people with bladder problems. No, children, yeah. He said he absolutely adored them. He said as far as he was concerned, there couldn't be too many children. I believed him too, because he was trying to make another one with me all night. He said, Tracy, it's my ambition to find a 100% cure for diphtheria. I said, well, you won't find it up my skirt. No, I said to him...
Nurse.
Oh, can you hear that, Fiona? Somebody's calling me. I told you people keep mistaking me for a nurse, didn't I? Yeah, I'll have to go. See you.
Nurse.
Coming. Yeah? What is it, Mr... Oh, who Who gave you that black eye?
Oh, never mind that. Just pass my cassette recorder, will you, please?
Oh, there you are. Bye.
Oh, thanks. Right, we'll try lesson two.
How to be popular with girls, lesson two. Hi there.
Hello.
And how do I find you today?
Sick as a parrot.
Good. Now, before we go on, have you remembered all that we learned in lesson one?
Oh, yes.
And in the meantime, you asked a girl for a date, right?
Right. I asked one of the nurses on the morning shift.
And you weren't at all embarrassed, were you? Of course you weren't, because we learned in lesson one that asking a girl for a date is easy. The very worst thing that can happen is for her to say no, right?
Right.
And because you learned the correct way to approach a girl, what happened when you asked her for a date?
She said, get lost, you ugly twinnock.
She said, yes. At least I'd be greatly surprised if she didn't.
You're greatly surprised.
But let's just suppose she didn't say yes. Did you let that put you off?
No.
Of course you didn't. You went right on and asked another girl for a date, didn't you?
Yeah, I asked another of the nurses on the morning shift.
And what did she say?
She said, get lost, you ugly twinnock, as well.
Right, she said yes.
No, she didn't. She said, get lost, you ugly twinnock. Then she hit me and gave me a black eye.
So what did you do? Did you take her to the movies?
No, I went to the toilet to look at myself in the mirror.
And what did you see?
Well, I saw an ugly twinnock with a black eye.
Hey, now, hey, hold on a minute. Maybe the second girl you asked didn't say yes. Maybe you're the one guy in a million who didn't get the right result.
That's me.
In which case, we have to find out why the girls you asked wouldn't consent to a date with you. And it'll be for one of four reasons. One, you were not confident enough in your approach.
I was very confident.
Two, you didn't take enough care over your appearance.
My appearance was perfect.
Three, you didn't have a big, big smile on your face.
I had an enormous smile on my face.
And four, because you're an ugly twinnock.
And if indeed you are an ugly twinnock, why not buy our companion cassette, Getting the Very Best Out of Your Inflatable Rubber Woman? £5.99, including a year's supply of vitamin tablets and a free puncture outfit from all good record shops. Another interesting cassette currently
Excuse
on our mailing
me.
List is...
Yeah? Me and my husband are hospital visitors. Would you care for a visit?
No, thank you, no. Now, look, try Mr. Armitage over there. See, he don't get many visitors.
Thank you. Come along, Danny.
We present the 17th minute of the show. This week, the well-known actor, Donald Sinden, will recite a soliloquy. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Sinden.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer another series of that dreadful television sitcom about two antique dealers, which I do with that old fruit, Windsor Davis, or whether I should get another series talking about English churches. English churches. English churches from whose hallowed altars and beloved bell towers I can bring my rich, resonant tones directly into your sitting rooms, using words which allow me to roll my R's like reverential and beautiful phrases like rococo scrollwork. Oh, English church, thou grey granite, sturdy stone sanctuary, thou house of the Almighty, from where I can wax lyrical about sepulchres and seraphims and basilicas and buttresses, from where I can emote from my very soul about the overpowering feeling which courses through my veins and cascades through my body each and every time I enter a Norman abbey. From whose majesty I can pontificate, from whose splendor I can articulate, from whose magnificence I can use lots more words that I got from Rogers Thesaurus, from where I can utter, from where I can elucidate, from where I can rhapsodize, from where I can go completely bananas, from where I can deliver words with such sonorous majesty that my performance is nothing less than some magnificently glorious verbal orgasm. Or should I do that commercial for odor eaters I've been offered?
Donald Sinden, ladies and gentlemen, the man who's done for the acting profession what Bonnie Langford has done for puberty. And now we return to the hospital.
Hello, Mr. Armitage. We're Fanny and Danny Sinden. We've come to visit you.
Me and Fanny have come to cheer you up. Haven't we, Fanny? Cheer him up.
Yeah, well, that's very good of you.
No, you mustn't mustn't try to get up, Mr. Armitage. No, the last thing you want to do in your condition is make sudden movements.
Just try to lie there peacefully, in repose, as they say. Well, I'm not at all happy with his colour, Fanny.
Oh, slate grey. The last time I saw our John James, he was that colour.
Yeah.
And the following day, gone.
Gone.
Actually, the doctors say I'm improving.
Yes, well, they would.
They would, yes, doctor.
I mean, they don't like to worry you.
Ooh, look what he's got. Just look at his chart, Fanny.
Oh, the poor soul. Yes. Still, we must try to look on the bright
side. On the bright side.
I mean, he could hang on for hours, yes.
I feel quite good, actually.
Yeah, it's amazing how people hang on, isn't it, Fanny?
Life is sweet,
Life
Fanny.
Is sweet.
Remember Dolly Bickerstaff?
Dolly.
She had the same complaint as Mr. Armitage.
Mm.
She hung on for 6 months.
Yeah, but she kept ebbing and flowing.
And she had the last rites so often she used to prompt the vicar.
Well, I won't be having the last rites for a long time yet.
Yeah, I can't see Mr. Armitage lasting as long as Dolly Bickerstaff did, though, Fanny. I mean, have you seen his chart? Look, his temperature was 103 this morning. Oh, wasn't that hot when we went to Algeria?
No. Won't be long now, Mr. Armitage, love. You won't have to suffer much longer.
But I'm not suffering.
No, it'll be for the best, you'll see. Well, actually, you won't see, will you,
no?
Especially when they put you down the hole.
In that wooden bungalow.
With no windows.
Yeah. We've all got to go sometime.
Yeah, fortunately, it isn't very far.
No, it's only 6 feet.
The way of all flesh. Well, at least you've got one thing to be thankful for.
Mm.
I mean, you could be spending the last few days on your deathbed in a far worse hospital than the Attila the Hun Memorial. I mean, well, he could be in the Royal Infirmary.
Yeah, where I was when they operated on me, when I had to have something removed.
But this is the Royal Infirmary.
Oh. Well, I'm not one to try to frighten people unnecessarily, Mr. Armitage, but when I was in that operating theatre, was like a slaughterhouse.
Was like a slaughterhouse. The man they operated on before, Fanny, had his gallbladder and half a lung removed, and he only come in to read the gas meter.
You just would not believe it, Mr. Armitage. A day I was in that operating theatre, they shifted more organs than Yamaha. And I shudder to think what they did with them, but we had braised liver every day and I never saw a butcher within miles of it.
Ooh,
he's gone, Danny.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, Fanny.
I suppose we ought to do something.
Yeah, we'll have to, won't we? I mean, there's still 20 minutes visiting time left. I mean, we don't want to waste our time sitting here, do we?
We can watch the telly for a bit, if you like. There's one over there. See, looks like there's a film on.
Oh, yeah. Look, they're in a bazaar like the one we went to in
Algeria.
Where we bought that good luck skeleton, yeah. Let's go over, shall we?
I say, how much are your chickens?
A chicken? Oh, yes. One chicken is 60.
60, what? What do you call your currency?
Screwers. 60 screwers.
Let's see now. That's 35 screwers to the pound, so that's about £1.70. Right. Now, I will offer you 20 screwers.
20 screwers. A chicken is 60 screwers.
Yes, but I'm bartering with you, aren't I? You see, it's here in my tourist guide. Never pay the first price asked in the local bazaar, as the stallholders love to barter with you.
Barter. Yes, barter is good. We barter.
Excellent.
We barter.
Yes, right.
I start. Mm-hmm. Chicken is 60 screwers.
I'll give you 20 screwers.
60 screwers.
30 screwers.
60 screwers.
40 screwers. No. Hang on. Yeah, no, you're not coming down.
Coming down.
Yes. You have to come down. You see, you're asking 60 screwers, and I only want to pay 40.
Then why you offer only 20?
Because I'm bartering, aren't I? I'm bartering with you.
Barter.
So that we can meet halfway between your opening offer and my opening offer, right?
Right, right.
Right, right. So, we'll start again then, right? I'll give you 20 screw-yous.
90 screw-yous.
30 screw-yous.
80 screw-yous.
40 screw-yous.
70 screw-yous.
50 screw-yous.
60 screw-yous.
60 screw-yous.
Done. Done.
No. I'm still giving you 60 screw-yous for the chicken, aren't I? I'm still giving you what you originally asked for.
Then we butter. Butter is good.
Yes, I know it's good. That's what I'm trying to do, but you won't do it properly. Well, you won't do it properly, you silly Arab.
Right, okay. This time, you ask how much chicken is.
How much is the chicken?
60 screw-yous.
I'll give you 20 screw-yous.
50 screw-yous.
That's the idea. That's the idea. 30 screw-yous.
40 screw-yous.
40 screw-yous.
30 screw-yous.
50 screw-yous.
20 screw-yous.
60 screw-yous.
Done. Done.
No!
But we bartered.
Yes,
we bartered.
You didn't do it properly again, did you? You're still getting 60 screw-yous, aren't you, you pillock? I'll show you how it's done, and I'll pretend to be you, and you pretend to be me.
Look.
Here is the 60 screw-yous you're asking. Now, you take it and pretend to be me, and I'll take the chicken and pretend to be you, right?
You me.
Right. Now, ask me how much the chicken is.
How much is chicken?
60 screw-yous.
I accept.
No, you're me now. You want the chicken for 40 screw-yous.
Ah.
Right then. Now, the chicken is 60 screw-yous.
I give you 20 screw-yous.
That's it. You've got it now. You've got it. Right. I'll let you have it for 50 screw-yous.
30 screw-yous.
40 screw-yous.
Done.
So, here's your chicken.
Thank you, and here is your 40 screw-yous. Nice doing business with you. Very nice day.
No. Hang on. I mean, you've got 20 screw-yous of mine now, haven't you? I mean, you've got 20 screw-yous of mine, and you've still got the chicken.
You want to buy chicken?
Well, of course I want to buy the bloody chicken!
Then to you I give special price I know you like. 40 screw-yous.
Done! No! I'm still giving you 60 screw-yous, aren't I? Because you've already got 20 screw-yous of mine, haven't you?
I'm sorry, sir. Must serve this gentleman now. Why you bring back chicken, sir?
I asked you to kill it for me, but the thing's still flapping its wings.
So what do you want me to do about it?
I want you to slay it again, Sam.
What?
You heard me. Play it again, Sam.
Oh, sure. Sure thing, Rick.
Of all the bazaars in the world, I had to end up in this one. Reminds me of the time I was in Casablanca, and that's a part of my life I don't like to be reminded of.
You have been listening to Star Trek II, starring Christopher Godwin, Jeffrey Holland, Susie Blake, and Fred Harris.
Yeah, Casablanca. I went there to forget a woman and succeeded. But I was far from happy about it, because life for a man without a woman is about as empty as a eunuch's jockstrap.
The show was written by Terry Ravenscroft.
So I comforted myself with booze. But that just plays havoc with a man's insides. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about, because after drinking 10 pints of Watney's a day for 2 years, I ended up with water on the liver.
And produced by Martin Fisher.
Here's looking at you, Martin.